Dit is 25 minute oor 6. Die beleerde inligtingstegnologiegroep EOH het vandag winssyfers vir sy boekjaar tot einde Julie aangekondig. Die groep het 'n wesensverlies van 2,2 miljard rand gelei, maar die groot nuus was eerder of die uitvoerende hoof Steven van Coller al die geraamtes van beweerde korrupsie en ander finansiële ongeruimthede uit EOH se kas kon skud. Nou dit volg nadat Microsoft verlede jaar 'n kontrak met EOH oor korrupsie beëindig het. Die regsfirma INS Africa is toe aangestel om 'n omvattende forensiese ondersoek na die korrupsie en die ongeruimthede te doen, en daar is toe korrupsie van meer as 1 miljard rand ontbloot. Die ondersoek duur egter nog voort. Die groep het ook reeds verskeie kriminele kragte teen voormalige werknemers ingestel. Op die lyn nou is Steven van Coller, hy is die uitvoerende hoof van EOH. Steven, welcome to the show. A lot has happened at EOH during the past 6 months. How far are you from drawing a line under this whole mess?
Hi, Rick. How are you doing? And even to your listeners. Rick, it's been a very, very tough 6 months. The whole idea was to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible. So we spent a lot of time. And as we have seen today at the results, we've actually got quite a lot of final detail. We're hoping to close out on this first phase, which is really all the legal issues, by the end of the year. It's coming to an end. The investigation is certainly finished, and we've now issued 7 Section 34 reports in terms of our own Bribery and Corruptions Act, and we've done the affidavits to the police, and ENS have now started interacting with the Financial Intelligence Centre and the Financial Crimes Unit at SAPS, and they'll continue to do that so that they can get all the information across. But, I mean, I think the good news is the investigation is done. We've got a good handle of it. We know what went wrong, and we know what we have to do to put it right.
Were you able to isolate the pockets of where the problems were, or was it a bit difficult as it was entrenched in more than one division? It was actually bigger than just in certain silos. How easy or difficult was it to isolate the actual transgressions?
No, I think fortunately, like if listeners want to go on the website and just have a look at my 15th of July report, it was very isolated at head office, in a unit called Public Sector Vertical. It's turned out to be around 11 individuals, so a little bit more than what we reported then, but we found a few more. They've all been exited out of the business. The main thing that drove this was just the lack of governance and control. So as I said at the meeting, we had one compliance lady for 11,000 staff, and it's not surprising that some of the governance frayed at the edges. And this allowed people to submit and approve fictitious invoices for no work done, which has resulted in quite a lot of money being stolen out of the company.
You also blacklisted 50 enterprise development partners and intermediaries for being complicit in the wrongdoing. Who are these partners and intermediaries, and what will the consequences for them be?
So how it worked is clearly to get the money out, people had to find a way, and you couldn't just obviously go and steal from the bank account. So using the enterprise development legislation, they, in my view, concocted a few partnerships with these individuals. If you see, there's quite a lot of, in those 50 partners, there's some commonality in directors. They created these legal entities. The legal entities then submitted the invoices. The perpetrators authorized the invoices and put them through the system, and they got paid. And because they were submitted into large multi-year contracts, you know, they'd take 500,000 here, 1 million there, 5 million here, bit by bit. And so it was very difficult from an accounting system to track it. It was only when we got the whistleblower and we could go and do the email searches, you realized that there were these things going on. And when you investigated them and went to the project manager and said, did this company do work for you? He said, no, I've never heard of them. We started realizing, you know, what the outcome was. So we have some of them, we've obviously blacklisted, stopped paying. You've heard the noise in some of the newspapers. Some of them are trying to take us to court. But the reality is that they didn't do any work. In no time, she'd submitted invoices just saying consulting services in some cases. but there's no evidence of work done. So we will run that through, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of the money back, although you know it's a very difficult process because people squirrel the money away into trusts and things, and some of it would have been spent already. So it's going to be quite a difficult process, but hopefully the FIC will help us out on that.
Yeah. Operationally, of course, it must be difficult. You know, your full attention will probably not be on the operations. It will be on this investigation. But operationally, how did you perform?
So I think just to answer the second question first, you're absolutely right. It's taken me out of the business for probably 6 or 7 months, maybe even 8 months, which has been quite depressing because that wasn't what I came to do. But as I said, it's finished now. And since the 15th of July, I've been getting back into the business. And we've worked on a strategy, and we've, you know, been able to find out the things we need to change and optimize. Operationally, it's been a very difficult year. Most of the business has done fine. Generally, revenue pretty flat year on year, and I think that's not bad in a difficult economy. Where we've really struggled a little bit is on the hardware sales and some of the basic, if I call it basic, straightforward software sales. That's been very easy for customers to rotate us out and, you know, give to other people. And so we've seen a little bit of a depression there, and you can see it in the numbers that we put up. But the reality, that's low-margin business. It's just was easy money, and so we're going to have to earn our stripes again and get it back. But I think on the good front, you'll see we've exited 32 buildings. We had about 104,000 square meters of empty property. We've exited some of that. That saved us 65 million rand running. We've got another 44 buildings to do next year, as well as the 600 million rands worth of operating costs that we've taken out during the year.
Just lastly, you joined EOH from MTN, I think, in July last year. Was the job tougher than you thought?
I joined in September, although it does feel like a bit like July. But yes, it was definitely not what I was expecting. I had asked some of the questions, but clearly wasn't given the full answer. But, you know, unfortunately, it's not in our DNA, and we're not brought up and, you know, built and bred to deal with bribery and corruption. So it's been a massive learning curve for me. But I've been very fortunate to attract a very good board, a very good chairman, and some very good senior execs who were prepared to put their shoulder to the wheel. And we're getting to the end of it, which I think is the most exciting thing, because we can get back to the real EOH business and the excellence in each of the business units that was there and made the company it was in the beginning. Just a pity a few people have taken so much from so many people, and we need to remember that it's not all 11,000 people. It was basically the 11 who really spoilt it for everyone.
Stephen, thank you so much for your time. Dit was Stephen van Coller, hy is die uitvoerende hoof van EOH.